Small Studio is made possible by a grant from the Herbert Simon Family Foundation and with support from Nito Art Shop and Sun King Brewery.
So this is a song about an affair with a little twist on it. There's kind of a double meaning to the song.
Well, I had plans to head home soon, but then my mind, it wandered off with you. And against my better judgment, I'll deny myself the truth that I can't have one kiss and be through. And when your lips met mine, I blushed, and all the blood to my head, it rushed, nearly fell right off my stool. For you, I'm a helpless fool. When she calls, I'm working late, but we're driving on the interstate. And press the gas, we're going faster, gotta make it to your place. With you, I intend to stay. Well, I make it home before dusk, just before my baby wakes up. And as I creep across the room, I still reek of your perfume. 'Cause I can't spend one night and be through. And against my better judgment, I'll deny myself the truth that I can't have one drink and be through.
Thank you. Yeah. So for some reason, I've been really into kind of like country-esque music recently, and I like the way that they talk about heartbreak and boozing, and I decided I wanted to make a kind of a two-part story, where the whole time you think he's talking about cheating on his wife, but instead he's actually talking about his relationship with alcohol. Sometimes any secret or any affair, they could be similar when you're lying or being deceptive in a way because you don't want someone to know. Also the shame. So that's what that song's about. And this next one is called... It doesn't have a name either. These new songs don't have any names. But this next song is about wanting to leave where you are. I think as being from the Midwest, I know when I was living in Bloomington, there were a lot of people who all the time said, oh, I just have to get out of Indiana. If I go to New York, if I go to these places, I'll be so happy. And then they get there, and 6 months later they come back, and they've always got an excuse or a reason why these cool cities didn't work out. And the truth is, it's us. You can go anywhere. You can be in the most beautiful place in the world, but like if you're not right with yourself, you will never love it. So that's what this song is about.
Mm-hmm. So you say you're out for something better. Yet you shiver in the slightest change of weather. Strung up by those ties that you severed. Girl, quit lying, we're best together. Another time, a different place. All those dreams that we chase. Girl, keep trying. So you say you're off to paint a picture. And in the background I'm an abstract figure. We'll blend the oils into a single mixture. A darker shade, but none the richer. The perfect still, the perfect frame. Your ideals are insane. Girl, quit lying. Change the state of mind remains the same. You seek the sun, see only rain. You've cursed your home, but you're to blame. You're to blame. You're to blame. You're to blame. Change the state of mind remains the same. You seek the sun, see only gray. You've cursed your home, but you're to blame. So you say you're out for something better. Well, pack your bags, my dear, it's now or never. And you live as if you have forever. But girl, we're dying.
Thank you. Yeah. So that I wrote that with a buddy of mine. And I really like that song. I think it serves as a good reminder for me, especially the current culture that we have right now with FOMO and social media, that fear of missing out. A lot of times we can compare these perfect pictures of everybody else's lives and look at ours and say, like, well, we have all these goals and accomplishments, and it can be really easy to feel bad about where we are in our lives. And sometimes we just need to be reminded that, hey, man, we're here, we are alive, we are existing, and we're still at the top of the food chain. We're human beings. Like, even if your life is not that great, you're a human. So you won the genetic lottery. The evolutionary lottery? Both? Sure, whatever. All right. This song is called Such a Shame. And the idea behind this song, I really, really love this song, and I would actually like to dedicate it to a friend of mine who recently passed, who was afflicted by depression, long-term battle. Unfortunately, he took his own life. And I like to play this song any chance that I get. And the idea behind it is the protagonist is picking up a friend from the stress center, and that friend is very ashamed for dealing with depression, and it's just a reminder to people out there having a hard time. You're not alone. There's probably a lot more people that you're sharing the bus ride with that have been in the same exact spot as you. And we can always come together and support each other.
We sat in the car. We didn't get too far. Before I pulled over, steadied my beating heart. I put my hand on hers. We didn't say a word. I asked if she was okay. Only the silence sang. But when she shook her wrist, I read her bracelet. I wish you wouldn't be so ashamed of what she's done. Lord knows I've been there more than once. I asked her for a kiss. She said she don't wanna live, and this won't make no difference, because it is what it is. But I wish that she could see what she means to me. I wish that she could believe in everything she could be. And I wish she wouldn't be so ashamed of what she's done. Lord knows I've been there more than once. Of us who love her, it's all of her friends. My God, we see so much more. And all of her friends, and those of us who have loved her, it's all of her friends. My God, we see so much more. And I told her that if she were empty, and I told her that if she were empty, and I told her that if she were empty, like a vessel, all my love into her I'd pour. Ooh, and I told her that if she were empty, like a vessel, all our love into her I'd pour. Ooh, and I told her that if she were empty, like a vessel, all our love into her will pour. Because all of her friends, and those of us who have loved her, it's all of her friends. My God, we see so much more. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, I appreciate that. This is the tuning song. It won't last very long unless I tune this note wrong. There we go. So this next song is called Prayer Child. The last two songs are going to be some songs that I wrote between the ages of 16 and 19. That keeps sticking around. I really liked 50s doo-wop, and I wanted to, most of the time people are always singing about their babes and how they love them. This song is about being a bastard child. And it's called Prayer Child. So.
Child of sorts, loved by your mother, but hated by a father aboard the mission. Rosary beads and my Virgin Mary, no. Dark and old scary. You were a love child of sorts, conceived in the backseat of your father's brand new Chevy. And the blood that is pouring from my eyes, tell me tales of cheating and lies. Did my mother stay faithful to her Jesus? Rosary beads in my virgin Mary. No.
This last song is a song that I've been playing with my band, and we don't really have a name. We've been kind of doing like a funny thing depending on the venue. Like, we played Oktoberfest, we were Crescent and the Bierstein Bears. We've been Crescent and the Tall Boys because they're all like 6'3" and above, and we all like to drink PBR Tall Boys. So we don't really have a name, but if you guys want to check it out, you can go to Crescent is Alive. That's my Instagram tag, and there's all that good stuff there, as well as crescentisalive.com. I have a website there with all my music. So this song is called Don't Go, and this song with a full band, it's a showstopper. It's okay when it's just me.
In my shoes, and I love, said I love to sing the blues, and I keep precious truth. So don't go, leaving me all alone. Just stay. Stay another day. so you feel bored. And present but ignored. And so you feel down, lost and you can't get out. So don't go. Leaving me all alone. Just stay. Stay another day.
Thank you guys very much. Yeah, I think that's five. Sweet.
And now an interview with Crescent Ulmer from WFYI's Jill Dittmeyer.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up on the west side of Indianapolis and then moved to Avon, I think when I was a freshman in high school, and then graduated from there. That's, I think Avon is kind of where I would say, without sounding cliche, that I'd be like, life kind of started for me there, because I don't really have a lot of memories of my youth before that. But in Avon, my neighbor, she was dating a guy and down the street from us, and his sister gave me a guitar, and that was life-changing for me.
Do I understand you were maybe 15 when you got that guitar,
yeah,
which seems kind of late for some people, but
yeah,
obviously perfect timing for you.
Yeah, I was late to the game, and it was kind of funny, because when I got the guitar, I didn't even know how to play it, and I would just like strum it open strings, and I would just sing on top of it. And so my mom saw that I wasn't putting it down, so she got me guitar lessons, and the woman, she taught me how to sing and play. At the same time, But it was funny because before that, I did not think that I had any musical capabilities or anything. I do have one vague memory as a kid where my mom was trying to get me to sing for my family, and they were telling me that I had a really good voice. So I guess in some part of my mind, I knew that there was like a good quality to my voice, but I never really pursued it. I always just would write instead as a little kid, and getting that guitar and then singing, it just kind of like brought everything together all at once, and it was absolutely life-changing.
Well, and I know you used to write poetry and journals and that kind of thing. When you discovered the guitar and creating music, did you just kind of insert those words into the music, or did you create the music and then went, oh, aha, I've already got these words?
Sometimes it was kind of both. It really would depend on, I guess, my mood or whatever experience I was having in the moment. But definitely I would write a lot of poems and then I would try to apply them. Sometimes it would start with the music. I might have a line from something that I'd written and I would just kind of hum it and it would work and I would try to dissect it. It just kind of, I don't know. It just really depended. It was weird.
When I was listening to your CD, The Creature Comforts, the one song, the Ode to Anxiety.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, here's a heavy title. And I started listening to it, and it reminded me of like a John Mayer kind of breezy kind of melody thing. But the words are pretty intense.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually really like John Mayer, so that's funny. Yeah, that song was, I started a lot of those songs on that album I wrote between maybe being 17 and 20. And it was all about just getting comfortable in your skin and what that experience felt like for me, because I moved out when I was 17. I moved down to Bloomington and I had no idea what I wanted to do. And, you know, my mom really wanted me to go to college and I didn't want to. And on top of that, you know, just exploring identity and sexuality, I'd experienced my first heartbreak, you know, and I'd never dated anybody in high school or anything. So that first love was just, again, I felt like I've kind of been a late bloomer. And it was just that first love, it was late to the game. So here I am now, this adult, you know, quote unquote adult, and I'm having all these experiences that kids maybe had at 15, 16. And on top of that, in this college town where there's nobody to tell me or to temper, you know, my behavior, and having to self-regulate was really difficult. And so the music was really cathartic for me and allowed me to reflect on the experiences that I was having at that time. And so that's what the album Creature Comforts came, because it was, you know, that whole entire album was like all about the things that we do, the habits that we form, and the things that make us feel comfortable. And sometimes they're not good for you. And that was what that, and so Ode to Anxiety was just all about that, just feeling uncomfortable in my skin and not knowing what to do and not knowing how to reach out to other people and just wanting to retreat.
You're 25 now.
Yeah.
Have you cleared up a lot of that anxiety and that kind of thing? Are you moving in a new direction with your words and music?
I think so, yeah. That album, I feel like, was coming from a place of confusion and hopelessness. And now, recently, a lot of the stuff that I've been working is coming from the other side of that, where a lot of it now is coming from a place of wisdom for, like, younger people, where I'm, you know, just, like, dealing with things like depression, dealing with things like sexual identity and gender identity, like, all these different things that young people are dealing with in their life. Now I'm going, hey, man, I'm on the other side of that. I was there. It's awful, but you will make it through. You will be okay, and it may not always go away. It may always be there with you, but like you have the tools and you have the abilities and you're fully capable of persevering, and there is so much opportunity for you to be happy. And I think for me, when I was younger, there was this value in being really self-deprecating. Like I thought it was really romantic to be this struggling, floundering, sad artist. And it's exhausting, honestly, you know? And so that's what I want younger people to know, is like, you don't have to be miserable, you know? Life is miserable enough without you making it worse for yourself. You know, like, you deserve happiness. You can be happy even with struggle. So that's a lot of what I've been writing about now. It's just,
and words are obviously important to you when it comes to music. Music is an important part, but words really mean something to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually just having a conversation with my friend about this last night. We were talking, and I was telling her, I said, without trying to sound braggy or anything, I said, I do feel like the voice that I have is a blessing, but I'm really thankful that I choose to be honest with my language, because it's not every day that you can go into a venue, you can play in a crowded bar and start your first song, and a crowd of 60 drunk people will stop talking and will listen to you. And so I said, that's such a serious responsibility. And there's so many people out there that I could waste it away and just have songs where it's, baby girl, I love you, or whatever. But I want to use the platform. I want to have the opportunity. I want to take advantage of that silence and let people know that we're not as big of strangers as we think we are, because a lot of the experiences that we're having as independently, we can relate to each other in such a profound way. It's like I was telling her, I was playing at Upland in Indianapolis. I was hosting a songwriter showcase. And here you have this most basic guy, Colts hat, Colts sweatshirt, just like total working class, middle American guy, coming up to me after my set. And he's telling me, you know, I relate to your set so much. And here I am talking about being queer and, you know, like being depressed and, you know, and all this stuff. And I'm, you know, well, you guys can't see me on the radio, but if you saw how I present. And but then he confides in me, he tells me, he says, you know, his wife has been terminally ill for a while and it's just been destroying him, but he's not had a place to, and no way to let that out. And so he really appreciated my set. And so I told him, I said, I'm going to play one more song for you. And it was a song called Such a Shame. And that whole entire song is about, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you look like, there's somebody that's been there and we're in your corner, you know, and we're not going to let you slip through the cracks, and we love you. And we play that song, and I look over, and I mean, he's just absolutely sobbing. And so those moments like that makes you just realize the impact of the power behind words, and, you know, why it's so important to use them wisely and use them carefully.
And why right now as an artist, quality is more important to you than quantity.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Even if I'm just looking at like my discography, a lot of times I get people who will ask me, why haven't you put out another album? Because I haven't put out an album in almost 4 years. And I mean, I guess I could crank out, I've got, you know, several albums worth of material, and I guess I could crank it out every single year, but I want everything that I produced, I want it to be important, I want it to be valuable, and I want it to say exactly what it is that I want to say. And I want it to represent timelines, you know, markers in my life that other people can have in their own evolution, you know, and be able to relate to that and see what a 17-year-old that, you know, thinks that they want to end their life looks like at 25, becoming a firefighter and, like, hoping to, you know, and what that's going to look like at 40 or what that's going to look like at 26 or, you know, whatever. I want people to be able to see that evolution and be inspired by it. So I think everything comes down to quality, even playing shows. You know, I'm really blessed. I don't play often anymore now, but I get to play great shows, and that means the world to me.
And you have chosen to become a firefighter.
Yes. Yeah, I just got my email confirmation back 2 days ago, and then I'm getting sized for my uniforms next Wednesday.
And how will that merge with your music?
I am actually really excited about it, because generally the schedule is 24 on, 48 off. So I'm going to have a lot of free time. I think I heard somewhere that it's you're working. I think when I was doing the CPAT, one of the firefighters was telling me you work like 90 days a year or something like that. You know, like overall 90, you know, 3 months to maybe 6 months a year. So that's a lot of free time to write and record, to play around the Midwest, to travel. So it serves like two halves of my mom always told me, she said she felt like I have a servant's heart. And so it serves those two halves of me, where I get to be a part of my community in two ways. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. Yeah, I feel like they're complementary to each other.
Thank you very much. Very nice.